Blog Talk Radio.
Well, young lady, what's your name?
Susan Walker, what's yours?
Mine? Kris Kringle. I'm Santa Claus.
In the system, getting in touch with your inner Grinch. Welcome aboard. It is the Amy Beth Arkley Show, weaving together a holiday mosaic of voices from the arts, pop culture, personal growth, and justice. A great way to start the show. It's the Gremlins, but we'll get through it. It is, after all, Friday the 13th. So walk around with a sprig of mistletoe over your head and throw some nutmeg over your shoulder, and we'll be okay. If you're listening live, by the way, you can join us. That would be Friday the 13th, 9 a.m. out west, 11 central, noon here in the east, 347-857-4505. Also, we can tweet and talk at the same time. I think that's working at AB Writes. Lots of interesting things ahead, including Tara Tomacic. She is, of course, she and her creative partner, Brandy Ford, were here a couple of months ago, it just seems, a few months ago, to launch their Kickstarter campaign for their socially conscious short, Muted. Guess what? It's a wrap. They finished the movie. I don't know how they did it, but they also assembled a very impressive cast. We'll get an update from her, along with one of her actors. Jorge Luis Palo will also join us. And we've got the Free Flow Pop Culture Convo, the Pope Bested Miley. And do you think President Obama is in the 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue doghouse? Details. Inspiration to action. Success stories are pouring in. We'll share a few. Some holiday tunes, if we can get the gremlins out of the system. Speaking of the holidays, though, this is a great time of year. I mean, it's a hustle and bustle. If you're doing the mall crawl, it's tough stuff. And I know there's a poll out from CNBC that says that spending is going to be down this season. But you know what's always there every year after year? Those great holiday specials. What's your favorite? Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, Frosty the Snowman, Santa Claus is Coming to Town. Well, the folks behind all those shows and more is a company called Rankin Bass Productions. They've been doing this for almost 50 years. Rudolph celebrates the 50th anniversary next year. And one of the guys who has one of the cooler gigs on the planet is with us. Rick Goldschmidt is the official historian of the Rankin Bass Company and the author of The Enchanted World of Rankin Bass, the 15th anniversary edition out now. Rick, hey, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure. So you have a really good job. How do you even get hooked up with this gig?
Well, out of college, my degree's in illustration. And I started talking to two of my favorite artists, Paul Coker Jr. and Jack Davis, out of the pages of Mad Magazine. And it turned out that they designed all of the Rankin Bass films. And I asked them what Arthur and Jules were up to, what they were doing. And they put me in touch with Arthur Rankin. And I just decided that it was time to do a book. And I did it, and then it led to many other things over the years, including two more books and lots of DVD and CD projects. And I designed some of the figurines for UNESCO, and there's just been an explosion of merchandise since my first book came out.
I'm sure, yeah. It's just, you know, these specials are timeless. I mean, people watch them as kids. They're sharing them with their kids, in some cases their grandkids. I mean, it's just, you know, they're perennials, and they're so retro cool. I mean, I know that, you know, it's the old claymation techniques that are used in most of them that some people think are old-fashioned, but that's part of the charm of them, I think. Do you have a favorite one?
Rudolph is probably my favorite. I also like Mad Monster Party a lot, which was sort of the original Nightmare Before Christmas. And I wrote a book on each of those, the feature film Mad Monster Party and the making of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Now, in Rudolph, there's some interesting backstories to Rudolph, of course. I mean, you have, maybe there were things that weren't so equal in terms of distribution of the wealth. Is that true in terms of who gets royalties?
Oh, yeah. Well, the Canadian voice actors that voice most of the characters under Bernard Cowan's direction, they had a union that was agreeable to a two-year contract, which was pretty standard in those days. Nobody knew, not even Arthur Rankin or Jules Bass, how long the show was going to last. It was only supposed to air two or three times on NBC for the General Electric Fantasy Hour, and promote the electric house goods of the General Electric Company, but it turned into something much more, and next year will be its 50th year, so...
exactly.
It's a big
deal.
So
they really got... They kind of got shortchanged in terms of the long term. They got whatever they got paid, the standard.
Yeah, for those 2 years. Which most actors of the 60s, that's the kind of contract that was available to them at the time.
Now, Burl Ives, however, seemed to have signed a better deal because apparently his family is still getting royalties, correct?
Yeah, and I don't think it's very much, but, yeah, they're still getting royalties because... I think his agent at the time, because Burl was involved with so many other things, he had music and feature films, and he wrote some books. I think he kind of saw the potential of something like that and knew that it might last longer.
And he was right. He was right. Yeah. There's just something, I mean, because it's just so great. I mean, they're just feel good shows. They're timeless. They have just something that's magical about it, and of course it's the time of year too, especially the holiday specials. I mean, I know there are other ones for other times of year and other seasons, but the Christmas season is so special in and of itself. As you said, the enchanted world is an enchanting time, so you have these specials. Everybody has great memories of watching them and sharing them and passing them down, so you really can't go wrong. It's a winner, and I'm sure the merchandising is great. What are there some other, are there any secrets, things that we don't know? I mean, like within the story, and Rudolph has a lot of different complicated, there's so many interesting characters in Rudolph, because you have Rudolph, you have you know, the elves. You have the elf who wants to be a, Herbie, who wants to be a dentist, which is so funny. I mean, how did they come up with that idea? And you have the misfit toys, you know, the toys. What was going on with those toys?
The writer, Romeo Muller, was sort of a genius when it came to family entertainment. His background was in writing for comedians like Jack Benny and Bob Hope and things like that. So he brought a special talent to putting together these holiday specials with an extra added warmth and quality that very few specials or television shows in general had. And one of the things he did was he would reform the villain, which in the case of Rudolph was the Bumble, the abominable snow monster, and he actually fleshed out a very simple story that was written by Robert L. May, and then the song was by Johnny Marks, his brother-in-law. He took that and made it into, as you said, added Hermie the dentist and all the misfit toys and the abominable snow monster and Yukon Cornelius, and really created this world that we know today as Rudolph. Up to that point in time, it was just a red-nosed reindeer, and that was it. So, and
so
then
we
wrote
we
all
have,
the
we
other
reindeer. We had the song before we had the, because the song goes back even further, correct?
Right. Both of those really didn't have much to them as far as, you know, the whole background to his story. And Rankin Bass also kind of developed the Santa Claus character and the Frosty the Snowman character much further than the songs or the storybooks or anything that was out up to that point. So,
well, yeah, I mean, Santa Claus Coming to Town is a very elaborate, you get a lot of elaborate backstory in that one, right? I mean,
Right, and that was all Romeo Muller and Arthur Rankin and Jules Bass sort of embellishing a very simple story. They would always take a famous classic holiday song and add a lot more to it.
Now, what about the claymation? Because most of those three that we mentioned, well, actually, Frosty isn't. It's Frosty cartoon, and the other two are the claymation. What? How do they decide which to do and which to employ, which technique?
Well, the stop motion that Rankin Bass did was called Animagic, and it was done in Japan by some of the top animators in Japan, including Tad Motionaga. And they just decided Arthur really liked the look of that type of animation and decided that was going to be his trademark. It was going to be a type of animation that he would develop in the U.S. and just take it to new levels. And I think what they did was they gave it much more personality than the art form had seen to that point. The art form was more of a fascinating type of animation, but Rankin Bass really gave it the personality with all of the classic voice actors that they use, like Burl Ives and Fred Astaire and James Cagney and Boris Karloff, and just developed it a lot further.
Yeah, I mean, really, when you think about the talent that was employed, I guess maybe in those days they just took it for granted, but it's a pretty impressive roster of people who were big names at the time when they used them, correct? I mean, these were not people that were just starting out.
Well, Arthur
How did
Rankin,
they get to... Yeah.
His family was from the entertainment business. His grandfather was in some famous movies like Gone with the Wind. His father was in some Shirley Temple movies, and all of his family was in vaudeville. So he kind of knew these mega superstar film actors and was a big fan of theirs. So he would always pitch it to them that this is a new audience and this will be something you can show your grandchildren. And, you know, with Rudolph, he didn't have to pitch too hard because that was such a huge success right off the bat that a lot of people wanted to get involved and do something like that.
Yeah, very cool. I mean, they're so great. I mean, they're just so timeless, and they're there forever, which is so wonderful. And people, I mean, as you said, we watch it on TV every year because they show it, usually CBS or NBC, whoever has it, shows it once, and then they show it a couple times, and also on cable. But you also can get, as you said, DVDs. People, you know, now have their own, you know, collections, I'm sure.
Yeah.
And merchandising. For a long time, you could get little figurines from the Rudolph characters.
There's all kinds of toys. Actually, this year they did a lot of Frosty the Snowman from the first version of it, because in the past they've been marketing characters and toys and dolls from the second special, which was called Frosty's Winter Wonderland, because they had some issues with the licensing. But this year they have everything from the original 1969 Rankin Bass special, everything but Jimmy Durante's likeness, because I don't think they want to pay the royalties that the Jimmy Durante estate would get. And you see that with Santa Claus is Coming to Town, too. It's always missing Fred Astaire now because they don't want to pay the Fred Astaire estate.
What about, so next year, can you give us a preview? Because we know it's Rudolph's 50th anniversary. I'm assuming they're going to do a big blowout for that.
Yeah, we want to take out the Rudolph and Santa figures again. We did some events back in like 2006, 2007, where a lot of people got to see them, the actual Animagic figures in person, and big success. Yeah, we actually had them restored in 2006, and they look really, really nice. And
now, where are these things stored? Do you have like a?
They're actually in a private collection right now, and the person that has them is willing to bring them out. And he actually is based in New York, so we plan to do some things in New York. And tie it in with some of the other things that the company that owns the actual special want to do, including some book signings and things like that.
Very exciting. Very cool. You have a very cool gig you have arranged for yourself, Rick, so that shows a lot of ingenuity on your part. Are there any future? I mean, have they stopped production, or are there new specials in the offing?
Well, Arthur Rankin is in Bermuda. He does some plays there and also teaches college. He's 89 years old. He just turned 89. And Jules Bass, I believe, is 79, and he just wrote a new book called, I think it's called The Myth Makers. And he also is doing a Broadway stage play sometime next year. So they're still doing things in the entertainment business, but I think they got tapped out on the holiday specials and the films and things like that.
They did their share, and you're now the great steward of all this great work. So congratulations on that, and best of luck. It's a great job because everybody loves it. So you have nobody. There's no controversy in this job, right? You
know? Yeah. And everything that I've done, all of the books and things that I've worked on can be bought at miserbros.com.
Miserbros.com.
Website. Yeah.
Very cool.
Just like the Eat Miser and Smell Miser.
Yeah, exactly. I love it. And you have a lot of, the specials are available as well as the books.
Right.
New one is out,
right.
The Enchanted World of Rankin Bass, the 15th anniversary. Rick Goldschmidt, pleasure talking to you. It's an enchanting time of year. I'm sure it's a busy one for you as well. So enjoy the season and Happy New Year, and come back and see us again.
Happy holidays.
You too. Take care. Bye-bye. That's Rick Goldschmidt, the official historian of the Rankin Bass Company. It is the Amy Beth Arkowitz Show. We got off to a little bumpy stop with the Gremlins, but you know what would it be if Friday the 13th without them? Want to get in the mix? 347-857-4505. You can also hit us up on Twitter at AB Writes. Gotta love Rudolph.
You know Dasher and Dancer and Prancer and Vixen, Comet and Cupid and Donner and Blitzen. But do you recall the most famous reindeer of all? Rudolph the red-nosed reindeer had a very shiny nose, and if you ever saw it, you would even say it glows. All of the other reindeer used to laugh and call him names. They never let poor Rudolph join in any reindeer games. Then one foggy Christmas Eve, Santa came to say, Rudolph, with your nose so bright, won't you guide my sleigh tonight? Then how the reindeer loved him as they shouted out with glee, Rudolph the red-nosed reindeer, you'll go down in history.
Yeah, that's the original Gene Autry classic, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, on the Amy Beth Arkowitz Show. 347-857-4505 gets you in the mix. We're going to talk with Tara Tomochik and Jorge Luis Palo from the film Muted coming up next. First, if you're going shopping, you want to get in and out as fast as possible.
Shop for Christmas at the grand opening of Northside Mall. Unfortunately, we forgot to build parking lots, so we have only 36 curbside parking spaces. So come in, spend all you can, then beat it.
We're having Christmas sales galore. Come shop at Northside Mall. But parking space is limited, 3,000 spots, that's all. So bring in all the dough you have, shop fast and spend it all. Then please leave and free up your parking space. Give us a break, then please leave and free up your parking space.
Northside Mall, 75 stores, 36 parking spaces. Please get in and get out.
Use Ajax, the foaming cleanser. Clean pots and pans just like a whiz.
Ajax cuts grease faster than any other leading cleanser.
You'll stop paying the elbow tax when you start cleaning with Ajax.
Ajax really polishes as it cleans.
So use Ajax, the foaming cleanser. Floats the dirt right down the drain.
My gosh, they're right. Foaming action Ajax makes even the dirtiest pan shine like new in a jiffy.
So use Ajax.
Every day I wake up, pour myself a cup of that rich Folgers aroma.
The best part of waking up is the doo-wop, doo-wop, it all I do.
The mountain goat aroma always coming through.
In your cup.
Now I'm right what in harmony with that doo-wop, doo-wop ditty. Whoa, one more cup and it's a hoo-wop, shoo-wop for me. Oh, the best part of waking up, Folgers in your cup.
The best part of waking up is Folgers in your cup.
It is the Amy Beth Arkowitz Show on BTR. We're braving those gremlins. They're out there. Don't worry, Trudy. It's not your fault. TCSLs are getting ready for the big holidays, Jolly Holidays special coming up next Friday, December 20th, and it will be available thereafter for podcast. We're assembling all your favorite holiday songs. Request dedications are due today, so get them in ASAP via Twitter at ABWrites with the hashtag holidays, H-O-L-I-D-A-Z-E, just so that stands out from all the other comments that we get. Or you can do it via the website, amybetharkowi.com. Click on the contact icon, and you're in. We've got a lot of them already stuffed in the stockings and boarded onto the sleigh, and we're going to have a good time with it, and hopefully the the gremlins will be away from us by next week. We're hoping for the best on that one. We're going to talk Muted in a couple of moments, but, you know, Time Magazine was banding about who would be their person of the year, and some people were rooting for Miley Cyrus, believe it or not. At least she led the way on the online poll, but no can do. Miley lost out, as did Kathleen Sebelius, the Secretary of Health and Human Services, President Barack Obama, the President of Syria, and the NSA leaker Edward Snowden. They all lost out to the Pope. Pope Francis was named Time Magazine's Person of the Year earlier this week. And a good choice, I think, because he is definitely led the call for a new look on poverty and morality, and kicked up some controversy on the fright wing, which I think is exciting and interesting. But, you know, Edward Snowden had a shot at it because he was leaking all that info from the NSA. But it's not just the NSA that's watching you. It's also the big guy at the North Pole.
You better post tonight. You better not lie. You better think twice before you reply. Santa Claus is tracking you down. He's keeping a list. It's checked by an elf. He knows every time you Google yourself. Santa's database is renowned. He friends you now on Facebook. He follows every tweet. He knows if you've been bad. site and which porn sites you delete. You naughty girls found Kris Kringle's been known to hack the new pictures on your iPhone. Santa Claus is kind of a hound. If you're bad, he will track you down.
Now you have a capital steps, and as only they can sum up Santa Claus, he's kind of a hound, and he knows when you're Googling yourself. I love it. It's our digital social media age for sure. And the snows are coming, so frosty, no chance of melting in the east, that's for sure. Here's Lady Ella's version of the classic.
That's Frosty the Snowman. He's a jolly, happy soul, with a corncob pipe and a button nose and two eyes made out of coal. Frosty the Snowman is a fairy tale, they say. He was made of snow, but the children know how he came to life one day. There must have been some magic in that old silk hat they found, for when they placed it on his head, he began to dance around. Oh, Frosty the Snowman was alive as he could be, and the children say he could laugh and play just the same as you and me. Run and we'll have some fun now before I melt away.
So down to the village with the broomstick in his hand,
running here and there all around the square, saying catch me if you can. He led them down the streets of town, right to the traffic cop, and he only paused a moment when he heard him holler stop. For Frosty the Snowman had to hurry on his way, but he waved goodbye saying, don't you cry, I'll be back again someday. Thumpity thump thump, thumpity thump thump, look at Frosty go. Thumpity thump thump, thumpity thump thump, over the hills of snow.
Ella Fitzgerald and Frosty the Snowman from the Ella Fitzgerald Swingin' Christmas album. I think that has to be my all-time favorite holiday collection. She does every song so well. You'll hear more from her and so many more great artists and classic songs on our Jolly Holiday special next Friday. Again, if you have a request, get it in today at Twitter, AB Writes, with the holidays hashtag, or at the website, amybetharkowy.com. Hope you're having a great day and a better day than the Friday the 13th has bestowed upon us with our gremlins in the system. But we're getting through. And we're going to talk about, you know, this wonderful pair of filmmakers, Tara Tomacic and Brandy Ford, were here a couple of months ago, it seems. I guess it was a few months ago now, to launch their Kickstarter campaign for their short, socially conscious film, Muted. Guess what? They wrapped the darn thing. Somehow they assembled a phenomenal cast featuring Chandra Wilson and Malcolm Jamal Warner, and they finished it. I mean, it's hard to believe. I know it's only a short, but still, they finished it. So both Tara is here, and one of her actors, Jorge Luis Palo, also joins us. Hi, guys. Thanks so much for joining us.
Hi. Good morning.
Happy to have you here. So, Tara, congratulations on making the movie. I mean, you were just here, it seems, a couple of months ago. You were just launching the Kickstarter campaign, and it all came together very quickly. You raised your money, congratulations, and you managed to wrap the film in a short amount of time. That is that's phenomenal. Congratulations.
Thank you very much. We had a phenomenal time.
Yeah, how did you manage to do it? Now, you assembled, as I said, a very impressive cast. How did you get all these high-powered folks involved?
Thank you. Well, in terms of our lead, Chandra, we hired a casting director, Robin Lippin, who contacted her agent, and we did it the traditional get Chandra the script way, and she read the script, and she really responded to it, and she ended up calling Brandy Ford and I, Brandy, my producing partner, called us and said she was interested and had a couple of thoughts and ideas about the script, and we ended up starting to collaborate very early, and so she was in. And then once she was in, of course, who doesn't want to work with Shonda Wilson?
True that.
So, and then after that, it was literally me calling representatives, calling agents and managers, and saying, "Hey, does this person that we're interested in want to work opposite Shonda Wilson?" And it was all fun from there because everybody wants to.
It's really amazing.
Absolutely.
And the thing is, the film, the filming must have happened in a fair, you know, pretty short amount of time too. I know it's a short movie, but still, to get it all together and get it done that fast is pretty impressive.
Yes, it was 3.5 days. So we started on a Thursday and had about a half day, and shot all day Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and that was early October. And we're now in post. So turnaround was very quick.
We're having a little difficulty with the sound. I don't think it's your fault. I think it's our system. But anyway, Jorge, what's your role in this film?
I play Detective Moreno. I'm one of the two detectives that is actually looking for the little girl that has been lost. But, you know, we don't exactly put our best foot forward at first. We kind of think that Chandra is maybe...
Now, before you get into that a little more, Tara, just for those folks who don't remember, give us the quick setup of the film and what it's all about.
The film covers the discrepancy in media coverage and law enforcement support for minority children and non-minority children. So George played one of the two detectives that were called to the case and were called by Chandra's character to come and search for her daughter as soon as she goes missing.
As a really important, and as we talked about the first time you were on, a really important subject, because when kids go missing, I mean, who are the kids that you think about in the news? They're always these, you know, cute little white children you don't think about. Very rarely, I mean, they do mention it, but it's usually in passing when you have, you know, a child of color that goes missing. You don't hear it as much on the news. So it is really a timely, important topic to tackle. Kudos to getting it out there and getting this impressive cast. What is the future? Now, you say you're in post now, finishing it. What is your hope to get it on the festival circuit? And then I'm assuming you want to do a feature at some point, right?
Exactly. So we are in post, and we're supposed to be picture locked by Christmas. So very soon we'll be seeing the entire thing. And then, yes, we're starting to narrow down festival strategies and festival lists, and the hope is to get it out there in the major festivals and get some interest in getting the feature done. We have the script. It's in its third draft, and we're working on it daily. And, yes, we just want to bring this entire cast back and make this feature and get this topic out there even more.
Sure. Well, yeah, the feature will definitely do that. Do you think that Chandra and Malcolm and George and everybody else will be on board?
I sure hope so. We know Malcolm. Go ahead, George.
I was going to say, I could speak for myself. I'm definitely on board.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I had a great time working with you guys. So, yeah.
We know that Malcolm was bugging us about when is the feature. So we know he's in. And, of course, we want Chandra back. So we're hoping the entire cast. We want everyone back.
Yeah. So Chandra and Malcolm are the parents?
Correct. So Chandra is the mother, and Malcolm plays her ex-husband, who... lives out of state, that shows up when their daughter goes missing.
Right. Okay. So they already have some interesting dynamics built in. I could tell it's going to be. You could expand on that in a feature, certainly. Which could be some good roles. Well, I'm really impressed that you got this off the ground and you started it with that Kickstarter campaign. So you're clearly ambitious and you know what you're doing, and that's great.
Thank you.
Well, no, I mean, it's true. It's a tough road to hoe, as you know, obviously, more than I, in the film industry. And to get it out there, and you're just taking the initiative yourself to get your work out there. And it's an important topic, too, so I think that helps to generate interest, certainly, among a lot of people. Which is great.
It certainly has,
Were there any, I mean, were you on, so you obviously only a couple of days, did you come under budget? Did you have to go over budget? How does that work for those folks who are interested in the behind the scenes?
You know, surprisingly, we were almost exactly on budget. We had a stellar line producer. Her name is Tina Pavlidis, And she kept us on track. And it was a lot of sharing that responsibility. Our production manager, Danette Wilson, also played a huge role in just keeping Brandy and I on the same page and reminding us of what we have and what we don't have. And, you know, it's doable. It's doable. Once you've set your budget and you know that that is the limit, it's absolutely doable to stay under budget and get it done.
So, you mean, you alluded to this other person helping you stay in line. Were you thinking or hoping for something that you had to leave out of the film and that was sort of on your wish list, but you had to make do without?
You know, not so far. Not in terms of shooting. We actually got to absolutely everything that we wanted. Now the question will be in post in terms of running length. Specifically for some of the festivals, they prefer as short of a running time as possible. So what we keep in the film, that is still up in the air. We'll see what the running length will be as soon as it's done.
What's the goal or what is the parameter for the length for the short?
We're hoping 15 minutes. The script was 16 pages, so it's about a minute per page. So we do not want it to go above 15, 16, if at all possible.
Is that really what they call for in terms of shorts? They don't want it to go any more than that? Otherwise,
you know, it's
considered
Yes, it's one of those unspoken rules where if you hit over 20, you're asking for a lot, you know, because if they have four stellar five-minute shorts, then your 20-minute movie has to be as good as all of them or better than all of them in order to take that kind of time out of their scheduling block.
Yeah, I gotcha. All right. So it's tough. It's tough to get – I mean, it really is – I know this is a playwright writing short plays for festivals. I mean, you have to get – you can get a lot in, but you really have to be careful, you know, and it's tricky. With a feature,
you have
a lot more – time to elaborate, obviously, and develop the story, and it sounds already, from what you've described, the bare bones of it, and just the dynamics between Chandra and Malcolm's character, I'm sure it can be elaborated and gone into much greater depth in the longer version, so it's going to be tricky for you to, you know, you want to allude to certain things and hint at it in a way that's tricky, and you have to be careful, and I'm sure you can do it, though, because you're very ingenious in terms of budgeting your time, but it'll be you want to tempt people to come back, right? It's like your calling card.
Absolutely, it's the calling card to try to get interest from investors and producers, and just getting the opportunity to expand these characters. I mean, our detective roles, for example, George's character and Ross McCall's character, who plays the other detective. There's so much more breadth and depth and purpose to every one of their roles that we want to have the opportunity to show what they can do and what their roles can do. Absolutely.
Interesting. Like, George, talk to us a little bit about, as an actor, it's a short, you have a short script, but how much do you sort of invent in your own head? I know when working with actors that they really do take on a lot of responsibility in terms of developing a biography with the character's background, things that don't necessarily come out in the script or on the stage or the screen. But so what do? You look at it and you sort of invent things for your character to motivate yourself and get yourself into the role?
Oh, absolutely. You start to create things in order to build belief, you know, to build belief that you are actually this person in these given circumstances. You create some history, you create some fantasy, you create some expectations as to what's going on, and really just wrap your imagination around that. And then and talk a lot with the director, you know, and collaborate. And a lot of it's collaboration and what it is that they want out of this character in this particular short.
So what did you come up with for your detective? Now, you said obviously he was adversarial at first, so he was coming in with a grudge on his, you know, a chip on his shoulder, sort of?
Yeah, a little bit of a chip on his shoulder, you know. When he first meets Chandra's character, it seems that she may, you know, it's a short period of time that the girl has actually been missing at this point, and it's the idea of, you know, the child actually maybe being a runaway because of an overbearing mother, because the mother seems maybe a little bit too hysterical. You know, he's a little bit doubtful at first.
So he's suspicious of the mother, and you want to show that by just his attitude towards her and the questions he asks.
Right.
His demeanor.
Right.
Yeah, right.
Right.
Go ahead. No.
I'm sorry. No, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, did you come up with a history for him of, you know, what his background was, how long he was on the force, all those kinds of things?
Oh yeah, absolutely. You know, that's something that I work on with all my characters. You know, where they come from, what their why he became a cop in the first place, what makes him, you know, what makes him tick, all of these things.
It's really it's interesting, and a lot of people don't understand that how much work actors put into it, and I certainly saw firsthand when I've done plays, and the questions they ask the playwright, the questions, and sometimes the life they breathe into, and things that come out that they offer you on a silver platter, really, that you can then incorporate as you expand the role. So I think that's fascinating, and it will be intriguing to see the finished product as a short, and then also when you get to the next step, when you expand the roles, what you do with it. So it's fascinating, and I applaud you for getting it done, Tara. Hey, you guys are very impressive.
Thank you.
Well, thank you.
Gotta tell Brandy to visit. Yeah, you have to tell Brandy to visit us. I know she keeps missing us. I guess it's not a good time for her. So we won't take it personally, right?
Do not take it personally. She is 6.5 months pregnant, so her life
Oh,
is
wow. Oh, good for her. Yeah, all right. So she's got a lot of productions coming up.
Man, she has a lot of multitasking to do. That's correct.
I'm very impressed with you. I hope it works well because it sounds like such a not only fascinating but also important project. And it's great to have a socially conscious film out there that I'm sure will be entertaining as well because it's easier to lure people in with a story. And it sounds like you have a good story to tell. So if people want to find out more about where it's headed, you have your website, correct?
Correct. We have our website, which is Muted the Movie, MUTEDthemovie.com. We also have a Facebook page, which is facebook.com/MutedTheMovie. And we also have a Twitter account, which is twitter.com/MutedTheMovie.
And you will post, I guess, updates in terms of, I know I saw your Facebook page, you had pictures from the production and so forth, but you'll apprise people on these sites, no doubt, when the film is completed and where it's going to be seen so people can see it. And, of course, if people want to invest, you're still looking for investors for the feature length, correct?
Yes, we are. So, absolutely, the website and the Facebook page and the Twitter page will constantly be updated with more and more photos, and we're going to start to do interviews with the cast, and as soon as the film festival start rolling in, all of that information will be on all three websites.
So do you think you're going to be using Kickstarter again? I mean, that was obviously a success for you for the short. Do you think you'll use it again, or are you just moving into another kind of venue with the feature?
You know, to be perfectly honest with you, I hope that we do not have to. But
okay,
to be perfectly honest with you,
no, I get
if
it.
We
I understand
do,
it.
You know, if we do, then we do. And we're so incredibly invested in this project, and it's been such a large part of our life for such a long time that if that's what it takes, that's what it takes. So maybe.
Well, I hope you don't need to. I mean, that's true. If you can get some heavier hitters and production companies, you know, Harvey and Bob are listening, right?
Right, Harvey?
Or whoever.
Right?
Yeah, exactly. It's a fascinating journey that you've taken, and I congratulate you, Tara, and George, thanks for joining us as well. I'm sorry I messed up your name at the beginning. I apologize. We're live without Annette, so when we don't know, we just do the best we can. Thank you for joining us, and good luck with Muted the Movie. Check it out, mutedthemovie.com for details, and I'm sure you're going to come back again. We feel invested now that we were with you at the beginning. Come back and tell us when you get the feature off the ground. I really appreciate it. And say hi to Brandon Forrest. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Happy holidays. And you're very welcome.
Happy holidays.
Happy New Year. Thank you, guys.
Happy Thank holidays. You.
Appreciate it. It's going to be an important movie, and there they go. Again, we talk about the artistic process. These people are just getting their own work out there. You want to do it. You have a story to tell. You got to do it for yourself sometimes. It is the Amy Beth Arkwe Show. 347-857-4505 gets you in the mix. Some holiday tunes, if we can get them in there. And the Free Flow Pop Culture Convo rolls on as well. Stick with us.
At the North Pole. To find out your standing with Santa Claus, please enter your social security number now. Thank you. Please hold while we check the list twice. Our records show you have been very naughty. You will receive no presents this year. If you'd like to erase this debit from your record and get back on Santa's nice list, press 2 now. Santa will erase your debit of...
Well, young lady, what's your name?
Susan Walker. What's yours?
Mine? Kris Kringle. I'm Santa Claus.
This evening has
been hoping that you
so
drop in.
Very nice.
I'll hold your hands, they're just like
my
ice.
My mother will start to
beautiful
worry.
Beautiful, what's your
and
hurry?
And father will be pacing the
just
floor.
Just listen to the fireplace
so
roar.
So really, I'd better scurry.
Beautiful, please
well,
don't
hurry. Maybe just a half a drink
put
more.
Put some records on while I
the
pour.
The neighbors might think.
Baby, it's bad out there.
Hey. What's in this drink?
No cabs to be had out there.
I wish I knew
your
how
eyes are like starlight
to
now
break the spell.
I'll take your hat. Say, your hair looks swell.
Ought to say no, no,
you
no,
mind if
sir
I move in a little closer?
At least I'm gonna say that I tried.
Now what's the sense of hurting my pride?
I really can't say.
Oh, baby, don't hold out.
Oh, but it's cold outside.
Lucky that you dropped
so nice
in
and warm.
Look out that window, take a look at that storm.
Sister will be suspicious.
Gosh, your lips look delicious.
Brother will be there at the door.
Waves upon a tropical
my
shore.
My maiden aunt's mind is vicious.
You know your lips are delicious.
Well, maybe just a cigarette more.
Never such a blizzard before.
I gotta get home.
Baby, you'll freeze out there.
Say, lend me your coat.
Up to your knees up.
You've
there
really been grand.
I thrill when you touch
my hand.
But don't
you see,
how can you do this thing
there's
to me?
There's bound to be talk tomorrow.
Think of my lifelong
at
sorrow.
At least there will be plenty in plot.
If you caught pneumonia and
I really can't
get
say
over that old doubt.
Ah, but it's cold.
Incidentally, I know how you feel about all this Christmas business, getting depressed and all that. It happens to me every year. I never get what I really want. I always get a lot of stupid toys or a bicycle or clothes or something like that.
What is it you want?
Real estate.
He'd take Colorado if he take her with. Closes the door before the winter lets the cold in. And wonders if her love is strong enough to make him stay. She's answered by the taillights shining through the window pane. He said, I want to see you again, but I'm stuck in colder weather. Maybe tomorrow will be better. Can I call you then? She said, you're a rambling man, and you ain't ever gonna change. You got a gypsy soul to blame, and you were born for leaving. At a truck stop diner just outside of Lincoln. night is black as the coffee he was drinking. And then the waitress eyes he sees, the same old light is shining. He thinks of Colorado and the girl he left behind him. He said, I want to see you again, but I'm stuck in colder weather. Maybe tomorrow will be better. Can I call you then? She said, you're a rambling man. You ain't ever gonna change. You got a gypsy soul to blame, and you were born for leaving. Born for leaving. Well, it's a winding road when you're in the lost and found. You're a lover, I'm a runner, and we go round and round. And I love you, but I leave you. I don't want you, but I need you. You know it's you that calls me back. No matter where I am, I can smell your perfume through these whispering pines. I'm with your ghost again. It's a shame about the weather, but I know soon we'll be together. And I can't wait till then. I can't wait till.
Colder weather, Zach Brown Band on the Amy Beth Arkowitz Show, and getting jazzy about the Arctic Blast with Stephen Eady. And baby, it's cold outside, and snow's coming to the Northeast, which could put a damper on the shopping weekend. Only 12 more shopping days till Christmas. Retailers not amused. Shopping apparently has been down, at least so far, and predictions are that folks are planning to spend close to 10% less this year than last year. What's that about? Are you worried more about the economy this year? What's your budget like? Are you under or over budget yet? I'm done, so I think I came in within budget. I don't know if I had one actually set up, but comfortable budget. Don't spend more than you can because it sounds good now. It feels good now to buy a lot of stuff, but then when the bills come rolling in January, that post-holiday depression really sets in. It's not good. Believe me, it's not good. Hey, don't forget, speaking of great songs, we have our Jolly Holiday Special planned for you next Friday. And boy, oh boy, we hope those Friday the 13th gremlins are gone big time, because we don't want any of that to get in the way of your favorite holiday songs. Requests and dedications are due today, because Trudy Aurora and ML at TCS, all the elves, have to, you know, load up our sleigh with the goodies. And we've got some good ones, some rarities, some comedy, a little mirth and merriment for the season, all thrown in. It will be live next Friday at noon, our usual time, 9 a.m. out west, of course, 11 central, noon here in the east, and available thereafter for podcasts for the holidays and beyond, which is the beauty of the whole internet radio. Usually works well, but occasionally you get a little glitch and gremlin, but we'll get through it, no problem. Hey, some birthdays to celebrate today. Taylor Swift turns 24, and on the other end of the spectrum, Dick Van Dyke is celebrating 88 candles on his cake. I don't think they've ever dated, but if they did, this might be the song that Taylor Swift would write.
May we enter
produced Rob Petrie. He's funny, makes money by writing for the Alan Brady Show. Big Dopey works in a room with Buddy and Sally, a gal seeking everywhere she goes to find a role. Meanwhile back at home is Laura. She has a real aura, like she could be a star herself one day. And there's Kit, his name is Richie. I hate to nag or finger wag, but he's a drag. When Richie's on, the story's really sad. Too bad he's such a dish rag.
The unknown hidden lyrics from the Dick Van Dyke Show. You know, we find these things. I don't know where Trudy comes up with them, but she found them. So happy birthday to all concerned if you're celebrating. Happy birthday to you. Do you feel gypped if you get a birthday during the holiday season? Yeah, some people do. I know. It happens. What can you do? Hey, speaking of not in a great mood, the First Lady gave the President the cold shoulder the other day. You saw that big photograph that they've been banding about the press. And boy, the right-wing media loves this stuff. But while the President and First Lady were at Nelson Mandela's memorial service, President Obama got a little chummy with the very attractive, youngish Danish Prime Minister. And he was cozying up to her, and she was cozying up to him, and Michelle Obama did not look happy. So you got to wonder how cold that trip home, that long trip home to Washington was on Air Force One. Not good. Now, it was a picture. It was a moment. I'm not saying he didn't spend a little time in the White House doghouse, but, you know, they're making too much of this on the right wing because they try to do whatever they can to whatever they can make hay out of, they will. It's ridiculous. It's kind of amusing in and of itself, but not too much fun there. Hey, the Inspiration to Action Challenge has been going on since September, and we have success stories, folks, who have actually either nearing or have completed their goals. So congratulations. Today we want to highlight Rita from Minnesota. It must be cold out there, but they're used to it out there. You know, they don't care. They walk to school barefoot in the snow. Rita has set up her indoor greenhouse. She said she's been wanting to do it for a long time, and it is all coming together, and she's got it all set up for the holiday season. She started in September. She says, what a great way to get me motivated. Thank you. Well, thank you, Rita, for participating. Congratulations, and please keep us posted for your indoor greenhouse. That'll come in handy in Minnesota, I'm sure, for a good part of the year. And a shout-out to our pal Dondi in New Jersey, who says that he is outlining a book and has finished Chapter 1 and 2. He hopes to have it completed by the end of 2014. Keep going, Dondi. Again, keep us posted. If you need help, you need inspiration, you need a little jolt in the right direction, reach out via the website amybetharkawi.com for creativity coaching questions. It's also the place to go to find out more about the Eliza Gordon mystery series. Both Killing Time and Dead Silent make great reads for your mystery lover on your holiday wish list. You can download it via ebook, of course, and you can also get it on paperback details at the website. We have it all for you. I'm trying to, you know, channel my inner Chris Matthews. Boy, nobody shills his own books like Chris Matthews, but I love Chris Matthews because he's so enthusiastic. You know, he's not exactly a young guy, but he has that spirit, which I just love, and I think if you love what you do and you're excited about it, you will stay young forever, and that's what we try to motivate folks on this show, is to embrace your passion, get in touch with your inner child, and do the work that you want to do, the work that you're meant to do, that's important to you. And you know what? It's never too late. Get involved. You want to do the Inspiration to Action Challenge? You haven't started yet? Start where you are. Get yourself an old-fashioned pen and paper notebook, the kind we use for the journal challenge, and just start writing every day. Keep a log of something that gives you sheer joy, something for which you are grateful, something that inspires you. Weave in an act of kindness that you have bestowed upon someone or someone has bestowed upon you. And then you get down to business. You got to pick three goals that are manageable and achievable within, say, a three-month period. Take each goal, break it down to 3 to 5 action steps, and then, yeah, right, just get started on the action. And before you know it, you'll have completed one or more of those goals. And keep us posted. We always appreciate hearing from folks that it's working for, and I love to give you a shout-out if you want one. Some people write in and they say, you know, I really don't want you to talk about it, but I want to tell you it's working or it's not working or whatever it may be, and I don't talk about it. But if you say it's okay to mention you on the radio, we will do that too, because I think it encourages other people to get motivated and moving, and it also gives you a little pat on the back. But however you want to work it, I'm all with that. So reach out and touch us via the website at amybetharkawi.com or, of course, we're on Twitter and Facebook. You can always follow the show at the Blog Talk Radio site. It's the Amy Beth Arkowitz Show. Download via iTunes or, of course, via the social media. We post it all over the place, and we appreciate it when you help us out, too, and help post it and get the word out, because the show continues to grow in terms of audience and sponsors. By the way, the show today being brought to you in part by Corel, helping you set an elegant table this holiday season, and by Verizon Wireless. So thank you to all of you for helping us get the show out and moving. We're wrapping things up for the season soon. Of course, we have a big jolly holidays special next Friday. We're off on Monday so we can get ready for it. And then we're back in January with a lineup of intriguing storytellers. Do you want to be one of them? If you have a story to tell, we want to hear from you as well. We're always looking for authors, both fiction and nonfiction, theater impresarios, social crusaders, journalists, musicians, filmmakers. Please hop aboard, and we'd be happy to showcase your project and spread the word about all the good work you're doing. And you can connect with other folks who are interested in the arts and culture and getting their work out there, too. And that's what the show is about. We're so gratified that we have reached so many people in a short amount of time, and we continue to grow. But it's thanks to you for helping us get the word out. So we do appreciate it. Thank you for being part of this little experiment, which sometimes works better than others. Today we had a little, well, it's Friday the 13th, so we had a couple of gremlins in the mix, but it happens. As I said, the mistletoe over your head, some nutmeg over your shoulder, we can ward off all those superstitions. Star Quiz show with Stevie Wonder. I'm not worried, are you? I think the Mega Millions ticket in my pocket with the number 13 is good luck. We'll find out. Hey, thank you so much, Trudy Aurora, ML at TCS headquarters, loading up the sleigh for the Jolly Holidays special next Friday. Get your requests and deadies in by today via the website amybetharkowee.com or at Twitter at ABWrites. Give me the hashtag holidays, H-O-L-I-D-A-Z-E, so it stands out from other comments and connections, and we will get them on for you next week, hoping all the gremlins have left the building. So we'll give you a little preview as we sashay out of here. Don't forget, snows are coming in the east wherever you are, whatever you do this weekend. Drive safe, play nice, and, of course, dream big. Come back and see us on the Amy Beth Barkley Show. Take care. Have a great weekend.
Rocking around the Christmas tree at the Christmas party hop. Mistletoe hung where you can see every couple tries to stop. Rocking around the Christmas tree, let the Christmas spirit ring. Later we'll have some pumpkin pie and we'll do some caroling. You will get a sentimental feeling when you hear voices singing, let me jolly set off with bows of party. Have a happy holiday. Everyone dancing merrily in the new old-fashioned way.
Come on, it's lovely with the first lane right together.